As you all know, I have four children. And in each of my four children, it's interesting, as a father, you see little bits and pieces of yourself, and you wonder how those bits and pieces are going to grow up. What are they going to look like when they're an adult? And I will say it's kind of amazing to me when I find myself spending time with my father. The fact of the matter being that we tend to look alike. We talk a little bit alike. We even walk and stand and sit, and you know, there's a lot alike between the two of us, and it's kind of fascinating to hear, you know, phrases and tones of voice come out of my mouth in my father's presence that could easily have come out of his mouth. We all carry a little bit of our parents with us, and that's a simple reality, for both good and for bad. You know, obviously we all want to carry the best of our parents with us wherever we go. In today's gospel passage, Jesus is talking about the notion that our Father in heaven is very much his Father, and that he carries his Father with him within himself. And that if we want to see and understand what our Father in heaven is like, all we really have to do is look to Jesus himself. This is exactly the same way it would be for any of us who are parents of human children. We can look at our children and see little flashes of our personality, of our style, our voice. We can even hear some of our own thoughts come out of our children's lives and mouths for again, better or worse. We are giving to our children, without even knowing that we're giving to our children, little pieces of ourselves. Jesus' point is that his relationship with the Heavenly Father is, in fact, a perfect relationship. And, of course, our Father in heaven is a perfect Father. And thus, if you want to see the image of that perfect Father, one really only has to look at Jesus as a person to see him as the embodiment of the Father in our presence. He carries with us, if you will, all of the character traits and attributes of our Heavenly Father. Now, we live in a world right now that doesn't see a lot of God. We live in a world right now that really needs to see way more God than it has been able to see for quite some time. And we live in a world right now where people often come to those of us who are believers, those of us who are of the faith, and they want to see God. Show us God. Show us the Father. This is the exact same thing that the disciples say to Jesus. They say, well, just show us the Father and we'll be satisfied to know that he is real, he is present, he is waiting for us, and that we're going to be a part of his kingdom. And of course, Jesus' message to the disciples were, well, you have seen the Father. You've seen me. If you've seen me, then you've seen the Father, because I am in the Father and the Father is in me. He's making a simple statement of fact that any of us could say about our own children on a much less grand scale. And this is when it comes down to the important bit about the world needing to see God and looking to us to see God. The world needs to be able to see God working through us. The world needs to be able to hear God speaking through us. The world needs to experience the Word of God through us, because Jesus makes it very clear that this is how the world is going to see, hear, and experience God the Father, is through our actions, through our deeds. And it is of utmost importance that we consider that we are in all ways, shapes, and forms speaking for and on behalf of God. Now, I will say there's kind of an interesting part about my job, and it's, you know, my clothes. You know, whenever I find myself out in public wearing my clerical clothes, especially if I have on a cross or something like that that very clearly identifies me as a clergy person, I always know that there are extra bits of attention being thrown my way. Eyes looking a little more carefully at me, maybe judging my behavior and attitude and perspective a little bit more than other people. I had this experience at Meijer's grocery store just a few weeks ago. I had stopped by on my way home after church on Sunday. My wife had some items she needed me to pick up. And so as I am exiting into the parking lot, I pass by one of the employees. Now, this particular employee and I have sort of gotten at least friendly enough that we recognize one another. He knows I'm a minister. He always asks me, how's church going? And I always say, it's going fine. And as I'm leaving the other day, he says, Pastor, I've got a question for you. And he proceeded to ask me some very pointed questions about why don't Christians, because he is not a churchgoer himself, why don't Christians cooperate more with other Christians? Why is there a whole group of Christian churches out there instead of there just being one Christian church? Why do we argue and squabble with each other? And, you know, all of these were very important questions. He said, well, why is that? And my answer to him was very simple, because humans are sinful. I mean, there shouldn't be hundreds and hundreds of churches. We should all be unified as the sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father, and we should all be working together. And yes, there are different styles of worship. The style of worship we have at First Lutheran is obviously going to be different than the style of worship at, say, a Crossroads or a United Methodist Church. But our styles shouldn't separate us. In fact, nothing should separate us. We should be speaking with a unified voice. And so I had to say to him, you know, the reason we're not speaking with a unified voice, the reason we're not one body is, of course, human sinfulness. We should find ways, we should be finding ways to cooperate with one another and to work together. And the fact that we're not is actually quite sad. Because when the world looks at us, the world only sees the Father through us. And what is the world seeing? Especially if the world is seeing a divided or even antagonistic body of Christ, where we are not cooperating because we are not loving each other. So the world looks at us very carefully. And it's not a bad thing. After all, how is the world going to see the Father except through us? And so you may not wear a uniform. You may wear a cross. You may not wear a cross. People may recognize you. People may know that you go to church. They may not. But understand that regardless of whether people are distinctly aware of your relationship with God or not, you are representing God in all ways, all shapes, all forms, and at all times. Because the world needs to see God's presence through us. It won't see it any other way. And so we need to continually be asking ourselves, when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and life, and the only way to come to the Father, and as we are the very body of Christ here in this world, we are the way that others come to the Father, are we representing that well? Do we consider our behaviors when we're out in public, or in the privacy of our homes, or on the internet? Do we consider ourselves to be actively representing the very image of God? And if we're not, if that's not at least in the back of our minds whenever we do everything we do, it should be. Because whether you've got a cross on around your neck or not, you bear the mark of the Christ on you. Because you are those whom Christ has redeemed. You are forgiven by the grace of Jesus Christ. And you are a part of his kingdom. You are a part of his church. You are the image that the world will see. And so, just like if you look at my children, you can see little bits and pieces of my personality, even maybe my appearance. You certainly can see a whole lot of my father's appearance if you put him and I side by side, right down to the hairline. Is the world seeing the same thing when it looks at you? Is it seeing your Heavenly Father? Are you being vocal about it? Are you telling people actively about it? Because, you know, that's part of it. We can't just expect the world to look at us and say, oh, they're good people, they must be Christians. especially because we live in a world with a shifting definition of good. We may very soon find that the very things that we do that we interpret as good, the world may not interpret as good. So we need to be very clear about we are doing God's good, and this is why it matters. So I say to you all this Sunday morning, think, consider, and understand that when Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, the life, and the only way to come to the Father, we carry on his teaching. And in that way, we are the way, we are the representation of the truth, and we are those that lead people to the Father by everything that we do and everything that we say, or we're those that stand between the world and coming to the Father by virtue of everything that we do wrong or say wrong or think or act wrong. So I say to you all this Sunday, think carefully about being on the way, but also about what it means to be the way. Amen.